"Ready enough," said Vimes.
"We were telling you about the armour," said Sweeper. "It'll..."
"The thing is, Commander," Q interrupted, "that you and this fellow Carser and all the clothes and possessions you arrived with form an elongated trans-time anomaly, which is under considerable tension."
Vimes turned and looked at Sweeper.
"It's very, very hard to move things out of the time where they belong, but it takes much less effort to move them back to where they were," Sweeper translated.
Vimes carried on staring.
"Everything really, really wants to stay where it should be," Sweeper tried.
"You're right there," said Vimes.
"All we do is grease that way," said Sweeper. "We give a little push, and it'll all snap back, and away you go. Have you had anything to eat this morning?"
"No."
"Shouldn't be too messy then," said Sweeper.
When Vimes looked puzzled, he went on,
"Undigested food. It'll stay here, you see."
"You mean it'll come tearing out of..."
No, said Q quickly. "You won't notice, but a nourishing meal when you get back would be a good idea."
"And the armour stays here?"
Q beamed.
"Yes, Your Grace, everything. Eye patch, socks, everything."
"Boots too?"
"Yes, everything."
"What about me drawers?"
"Yes, those two, everything."
"So I'll arrive in the nuddy?"
"The one costume that's in fashion anywhere," said Sweeper, grinning.
"Then why did all my armour arrive with me when I came?" said Vimes. "And damn Carser had his knives, that's for sure."
Q opened his mouth, but Sweeper answered faster.
"It takes 1,000 steps to get to the top of a mountain, but one little hop will take you all the way back to the bottom," he said. "Okay?"
"Well, I suppose it makes sense," Vimes began.
"That isn't how it works at all, Lutsay," wailed Q.
"No," said Sweeper, "but it's another good lie. Look, Commander, we don't have a damn great thunderstorm, and we don't have enough stored time. This is a field operation. It's the best we can do. We'll get you back, and your prisoner, although you almost certainly won't arrive in the same place, cause of quantum. It's hard enough making sure you don't arrive 200 feet in the air, believe me. Pushing all your clothes as well, when they belong here, that just takes too much power. Now, are you ready? You'll need to go back to where you were standing. Get to Carser as soon as you can. You must grab him, otherwise he'll stay behind."
"Okay, but I've changed lots of things," said Vimes.
"Leave that to us," said Sweeper.
"What about Keel?" said Vimes, walking away with reluctance.
"Don't worry. We told you at the temple we'll put him in your armour. He'll have died in battle."
"Make sure nothing happens to young Sam," said Vimes, as Q carefully prodded him into position.
The little stone columns began to spin.
"We will. Make sure Red Shoe gets a decent burial."
"We will."
"Not too deep. He'll be wanting to come out again in a few hours."
Q gave him a last prod.
"Goodbye, Commander."
Time came back. Ned was looking at him.
"What happened just then, Sarge? You blurred."
You only get one question, Ned," said Vimes, fighting the moment of nausea. "Now, let's show Snapcase where the line's drawn, shall we? Let's finish it."
They charged, the men falling in behind them. Vimes remembered in slow motion. Some of Carser's men ran at the sight of them. Some raised their hastily reclaimed weapons, and Carser stood there and grinned. Vimes headed for him, ducking and weaving through the fight. The man's expression changed as Vimes approached. Vimes was speeding up, shoulder charging and thrusting other bodies away. Carser raised his sword and took a stance, but there was no room for finesse in the melee, and Vimes closed like a bull, knocking the sword up and grabbing Carser by the throat.
"You're nicked, my old chum," he said, and then it all went black.
He felt later on that there should have been more to it. There should have been rushing blue tunnels, or flashes, or the sun should have shot round and round the sky. Even pages tearing off a calendar and fluttering away would have been something. But it was just the blackness of the deepest sleep, followed by pain as he hit the floor. Vimes felt arms reach down and haul him to his feet. He shook them off as soon as he was upright and focused through the bleary mist on the face of Captain Carrot.
"Good to see you, sir."
"Oh, dear."
"I'm fine," croaked Vimes, through a throat that felt stuffed with sand. "Where's Carser?"
"You've got a nasty cut on..."
"Really? I'm amazed," growled Vimes. "Now, where the hell is Carser?"
"We don't know, sir. You just appeared in midair and landed on the floor, in a lot of blue light, sir."
"Ah," muttered Vimes. "Well..."